Good morning. So glad you could all be here today. We're going to continue talking about walking in love. You know, we started out in Romans 12 with Paul talking about surrendering ourselves to God. And through 12 and 13, he's been telling us how. John said, "My little children, do not love in word, but to love in deed and truth." It's easy to say, I love people. But God's love is a verb. And He expects us to love the same way that He loves. In fact, I told you this agape love in the Greek is the same kind of love that God has for His Son and His people. And His people are to have for His Son, for Him, and for one another. So we're going to continue this morning our series of walking in love. We'll be in Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. For our visitors, we have what I call the word on the wall. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so we're all on the same page. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Father, I thank You that Your word does not return to You void. It accomplishes what You sent it out to do. Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that You take this word to our hearts this morning, that it takes deep root and produces fruit in our lives, that we may truly learn to walk in love and to love as You love. Lord, I pray that if there are any spirits of deception or dissension here this morning, that You will rebuke them, not allow them to steal the word that is sown in the hearts of the people today. I ask Your blessing on those who are here. Lord, I pray that You will be glorified both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. On an episode of MASH, Hawkeye and BJ stopped bathing in protest to Charles playing his French horn. And I remember that they get pretty rank in the show, and they show up at the mess tent one day, and the cook has a little table set out there, and he brings their trays to them. They don't even want them to come in. And they take this and say, "Oh, well, it's worth this." And Father Mulcahy, the priest, the MASH priest, is walking by, and they invite him to eat with them. And he declines their invitation. And Hawkeye looks at Mulcahy and says, "Father, Jesus ate with the lepers." And Mulcahy looked at him and replied, "Yes, son, he was an exceptionally good sport." And when we get to talking about loving those who are unlovely, that's kind of the mentality we take as Christians. Jesus commanded this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who use you." And we say to that, "Yeah, but you were an exceptionally good sport. You're Jesus. That's how you're supposed to act. We're not Jesus. So this is a suggestion." That's how we take it. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment of the law was by a scribe, He answered without hesitation. He said, "There are actually two. First is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And He said the second is equal to this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've told you before that this word love is not an affection. Because when I first became a Christian and started reading these scriptures, I said, I can't believe you want me to be affectionate to people I don't even like. You know, there's people I have trouble liking. And when it's people that love us, that's easy. And even as Christians, it's easy to love the lovely. I hate bad manners. That is one of my quirks, is when I get around people and they're not mannerly. When I go to Walmart, I don't like going to Walmart because I can be walking the aisle, stop to look at something. I usually get that person behind me goes, ah! You know, and I feel like they ain't going around. And when I'm in the mood to shop, I'm going to shop. If you don't like it, go around me. But the Bible says, you know, to act lovely, so I step out of their way. But I think, jerk. You know. And then I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry about my attitude. Or when somebody cuts me off in traffic. My boss on the ambulance, we were going hot one time to Springfield. Had a heart patient running hot, lights and siren, 84 miles an hour. I'm not supposed to tell that. I was going just a little over the speed limit. And I could hear my boss laughing. And when we got to Springfield, she said, do you know what woo, woo, woo means, you idiot? And I had said that. Because people weren't pulling over for the siren. I didn't realize they couldn't hear it till he was right on top of them. She said, you'll never make it driving in Greene County. You will be one of them that goes into road rage. We'll read about in the paper that's going to open fire on a, you know, oh yeah. And that's not the way I've been told to love. It's the easiest thing in the world to love people that are mannerly, to be respectful and mannerly to people that have manners. It's the easiest thing in the world to go out of your way to be nice to somebody that's nice. We don't mind doing nice things for people that are nice. We don't mind helping people that really need help. We talked about that in the Alliance meeting the other day. Where's the cutoff? When do we say no to people when they come to the church and say, I need this and I need that? Where's the point that we say no? You're not going to get it. Because you feel guilty if you don't. And boy, they'll play on that guilt. Now, I thought the church was supposed to help everybody. People that said that to me, I say, really, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Oh, but the church is supposed to help you. Well, yeah, that's what I've always heard. You know, what would Jesus do? He'd probably tell you no, too. That's what I want to tell them. But Jesus didn't command us to love that way. He said, when you love God, you got to love people. Because you can't do both. You can't do one without doing the other. You can claim to love God, and if you don't show the love to people, God says, you're not loving me, because I love them. For God so loved that he gave. You could stop right there on that passage, John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. God did something about the love that he had. Jesus said, don't love just those who love you. If you do that, sinners do that. And we feel pretty good as Christians sometimes about loving the lovely. It's loving the jerks. It's hard. It's loving the idiots. It's loving those people that cut you off on the highway or that glare at you or that run into your heels at Walmart because you stop to look at something and they don't. It's the people that act like you're just putting them out. Those are the hard people to love. And what's it mean to love them? What the scriptures are saying is you act kindly toward them. You return the curses with kindness. I don't want to do that. They need to know they're jerks. I need to retaliate and tell them you are rude. Jesus said no. You love them. Remember, we're ambassadors for Christ, Christians. We represent Jesus Christ on this earth. And some of us are the only Jesus people's ever going to hear about. Think about that. The way I respond to people is a direct reflection on my Lord Jesus Christ because I claim to follow him. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the heart of the law. When the Apostle Paul said to owe no man anything, the commentaries I read said, Paul said, don't be indebted to anyone. Well, debt's a way of life in this country. You know, we want it, and they offer us the credit, so, you know, most of us are in hock up to our ears. Hopefully we get out by the time we retire. But Paul takes a little different approach to life. He says, don't be indebted to anyone. But here's one debt you owe to all men, love. That's what Paul's saying. This is a debt you owe to all men, love. All men, all men. Even the jerks, especially the jerks. You're representing Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. Well, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, come join us. One more isn't going to make any difference. That's what I feel like telling people. But you know what the sad fact is? We give them a lot of ammunition. When we come into the church and act like the world and we backbite and stab one another and run one another down, we give them the ammo. I remember when I first got saved, I went to a little non-denominational church. And, man, I had this freshness. You know, God had set me free from drugs and alcohol and my past. And, boy, I just, this cleanness I felt. Not that I was better than anybody, but I was different. And I knew it. And I wanted to be with God's people. I thought, I got to get with these people. And one guy in the church I introduced myself to, and I'd just been talking to another guy, shaking hands with him. And I shook hands with this guy, and he said, you got to watch him. He's a jerk. Somebody needs to slap him. And I just went, ugh. And I felt like saying, well, I need to find another church. And that's what I thought. I'm going to have to find another church. Well, over the years, I've been to several of them. You know what I found out? You got those kind of people in every church you go to. You know something else I found out? There are godly people in every one of these churches around here who love the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if they're called Baptist or Nazarenes or Assemblies or Methodists. That doesn't matter. They're God's people. You remember how Jesus said the world would know we were His disciples? If you love one another. He didn't say if you speak in tongues, if you dress certain ways, if you wear the Pentecostal hairdo and wear your dresses down to your ankles and you don't have any tattoos and you don't smoke cigarettes and you don't watch TV. Because Mormons don't smoke cigarettes. Jehovah's Witness don't wear tattoos. See, that doesn't make you a Christian. That just means you're a legalist. Got to cover up that sinful flesh. Don't want to make any marks on my body. Don't want to smoke them cigarettes. Don't want to chew that tobacco. But boy, you got some very impure thoughts running through your head. You look at women lustfully. You get on the internet and peek at the porn. You get out there with your buddies and tell dirty jokes. Wouldn't have a tattoo, but you'll tell dirty jokes. See what I'm saying? Mistreat people. Look down on people. Think you're a little better than other people. You know when the Bible said God loved me? When I was His enemy. God commended His love towards us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'm not saying anything to you that I haven't experienced. When I was on the ambulance, and we'd get them meth heads in the back of the truck, and if you've never dealt with people with meth, they're not quiet and calm. They talk 90 miles an hour. And anything can set them off. They can be talking about this and jump over on this subject. You don't trust them. And I'd sit there thinking, what an idiot. Boy, the Holy Spirit would go on the back of my head and say, you used to be one of those idiots. Why don't you try remembering that? Yeah. I used to be one. You know, why don't you minister to these people? Why don't you love on them? These people... Jesus said, this is how the world knows that you're my disciple, that you belong to me, if you love. It's not the way I dress. It's not the way I talk, necessarily. You know, we use a lot of jargon in the church that people outside the church don't understand. Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Do what? Have you repented? Do what? You know, if you die tonight that you'll go to heaven? Go where? G- James said people will come to you and you'll say, be warmed, be filled, God bless you. And you'll send them away and you won't do for them what's in your power to do. He said, where's the love of God in that? God's love is an action. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself, church. I'm in the same position you are. And I struggled through the week with this sermon. I said, God, how can someone who loves themselves supremely learn to love somebody else the way they love themselves? He told me, it's a choice of the will. Not that the Holy Ghost comes in there and makes you love people. That's a doctrine of man, because we don't want the responsibility of choosing to love. I'll love when the Holy Ghost makes me love. That's what we do. Lord, we're waiting on a sign before we go out and minister to the lost. We're waiting for the tongues of fire to pop up over our head or the building to shake like it did in the book of Acts. Then we'll go out and do your bidding. God says, what are you waiting for? Well, we're waiting for direction. Jesus gave us direction. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to do everything I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When I was in the army, one thing we learned, that the last order you received was your orders until another order was given. That's the last standing order our general gave us. Go, make disciples. That hasn't changed. We think it has. We think it reads, wait and hope they come to you. Start up church programs and hope that'll draw people. Put in flashy lights and amplifiers and loud music and hope they'll come and be entertained. Don't preach against sin. You might run them off. Don't even mention sin. Never say you when you speak in a message. I was told that in preaching. Don't say you. Why? Because they'll think you're talking to them. Well, I thought I was talking to them. That made no sense to me. They'll think you're talking to them. I said, well, who are we talking to? You know, don't say you. Say we. Well, I can do that. We. You know, I tell you, I'm talking to us. But that doesn't sound like good English. Not to me. Jesus said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples. Not we. That y'all. He didn't say, so y'all are my disciples. He said you, because Jesus is talking to each one of us as individuals. This is how you are my disciple. And you that you love. He said on the day of judgment, when he separates people, he's going to say, come you blessed of my Father. I was hungry. Not we. Not us. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. Judgment will be very personalized. Very individualized. He's not going to judge us as a group. He's not going to judge Mansfield Christian Churches. Mansfield Christian Church did the church for the most part do this. Every individual seated in here this morning will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Every one of you will answer to Him, including the preacher. And He'll say, I was hungry. Did you give me something to eat? Well, Lord, we told you where the food pantry was. I was thirsty. Did you give me something to drink? Well, I gave you a dollar and sent you to Casey's. I was naked. Did you clothe me? I told you where the crisis center was. I was sick and in prison. Did you visit me? I sent you a card. I told you I was praying for you. Dwight Moody said the best leather for the gospel to be bound in, for the Bible to be bound in, is shoe leather. I agree with that. Talk's cheap. I think about that. Well, I'll pray for you, then I'll forget half the time. Well, I was praying for you. Why didn't you come and see me? I was praying for you. Why didn't you come and see me? Well, $6 million man comes on in 30 minutes. I can't drive up here and back when $6 million man is going to be on. I was sick. I was in prison. Prisons make me nervous, Lord. Nursing homes make me very uncomfortable. I don't like being around the sick and the dying. Like Frank Burns said on MASH one time, I hate working around the sick. You know, he's a doctor. I hate being around the sick. Well, that makes me uncomfortable, Lord. Loving people makes me uncomfortable. I'm just not a very loving person. Many of you know that about me. I'm not a very real emotional person. Now, I've had people come up and hug my neck and say, oh, no, you don't like hugging. I don't ever mean to say I don't like to be hugged. I just don't like being slobbered and hugged and, you know, the whole nine yards. I don't mind a little hug, but not when you cling to me. That makes me uncomfortable when people cling to me. I've been thinking about this a lot this week. Lord, how do I, as a self-centered individual, love people the way I want to be loved? And he keeps coming back to, it's a choice of your will. You choose to love, or you choose not to love. And you know what he told me the biggest obstacle in my life is? Pride. How dare they cut me off? How dare they run into my heels with that shopping cart? How dare they clear their throats when I'm standing here? Don't they know who I am? You know, I'm Rick Johnson. I'm somebody. I'm a nice guy. You don't believe that? I'll slap you silly. I saw a hat one time I thought about buying. I wanted to buy it and wear it. And it said, you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. I have those days that that's how I feel. People, I don't want to talk to you. And I was on the analyst meeting in the back doing my paperwork. Somebody started telling me a sad story. I want to say, look, I don't care. Let me do my paperwork. I've heard all this before. That's not love. I read that Jesus was moved with compassion, not religion. He could empathize with people. Now, when he fed the 5,000, and it said the next day they followed him, said, Lord, hey, when did you get here? And Jesus said, you know why you're following me? It's not because you saw the miracles, but because you got your belly full. He said, don't labor for the food that perishes. And he didn't feed them lunch. That's terrible. Jesus didn't feed them lunch. They hadn't ate for about 3 days when he fed them. And he said, I don't want them to faint. He was saying, in essence, you guys can go about 3 or 4 days without eating, and I'm not going to feed you again. That's love. He rebuked them because they wanted food. We'll follow you, Jesus, as long as we can get something out of you. And Jesus rebuked him for that. He said, I didn't come here to meet your physical needs all the time. I came here to meet your spiritual needs. How do you know what kind of a day people are having? You don't, unless you're God. A little bit of kindness can go a long ways. Yeah, but what if they don't reply in that way? Well, the love of God says, I'm going to be who I am regardless of how you treat me. That's how God loves. Jesus got invited to parties. That just blows people away. He got invited to parties, but he never quit being Jesus. He could sit and eat with sinners, and he never quit being Jesus. But he was just as comfortable sitting and eating with them as he was eating with the religious leaders of his day. In fact, when they asked him why he ate with sinners, he said, well, they're the ones that need me. They're the ones I came here to get. We're not the same people. Remember that. If you're a Christian, you're not the same person you were. There I go again. We're not the same people we used to be. Out of heck with it. You're not the same person you were if you have come to Jesus Christ by faith. That means you should act like not the same person that you used to be. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul goes on to say, therefore we are Christ's ambassadors, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's who you are if you're a Christian. That's who I am. And Jesus says, if you're going to be one of my people, you got to love like I love. You love no matter how they're treating you. You don't let that affect the way you treat people. If you do, Jesus said, you're a hypocrite. I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, you're not my disciple. He said, you're no better than the sinners if you only love the people that love you. If you can jump back and forth, I love you, I can't stand you. I love you, you're a jerk. I love you, you're an idiot. Jesus said, no, I love you. Again, he's not talking about affection. He's not talking about the ooey-gooey, put my arms around you and just give you a big old sloppy kiss and say, I love you. It's saying, I love you, and I'm going to treat you with the love of the Lord. No matter how you treat me. Now, I got a problem with that. First time I read where Jesus said, if a man strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. I said, are you kidding me? You want me to invite somebody to work out on my face? A guy who grew up down in Pro Tem told me about an old boy who got saved. Said he was rough. He was an old barroom brawler. He got saved, and after a while he went to preaching. And he said two guys showed up at his house one day, because he had a reputation for being rough, and they heard he got saved. So they went down there and knocked on the door and said he opened the door. One of them said, heard you're a preacher now. He said, yeah. He said, well, I read in the Bible that Jesus said if a man hits you on one side of the face, to turn the other. He said, yeah, that's what it said. Wham! Sucker punched him. He said he got up, kind of wiped his face off, and the other guy hit him again. Bam! And he went down. And they started laughing till the preacher got up and said, boys, I've received no further instructions from the Lord. And said he whipped them both. Now, we know that's not how the Lord works. That's how we work. How am I supposed to love other people when I love myself supremely? See, you know I don't believe in a sin nature. I think that's ludicrous to say that we inherited a nature of sin from the original sin, and that's why we sin. We sin because we love ourselves supremely. Sin is the gratification of self over what God tells us to do. That's why there's so much sexual sin in this country. I've talked to Christian young people about sex. And I'll have them say, I know what the Bible says. Yeah. What are you going to do with that? Do you love God or do you love you? Well, I was so tempted. Do what Joseph did. Run away. Well, I wanted to say this. Don't say it. Walk away. I wanted to do this. Don't do it. I know the Bible says, but there'll be many people condemned with those words on the day of judgment. Jesus said, every idle word you've spoken, you'll give account for. Idle means inoperative. Every time, Christian, you and I say, I know the Bible says, but you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and He'll say, but what? Out of your own mouth I will judge you. You knew, did you, that this is what the Bible said, and you did this anyway? Yeah, but Lord, I love you. Well, you didn't obey me. Lord, I love my fellow man. Well, then why'd you treat him like that? You were trying to win him? You know, I was trying to win him to you. I remember a guy told me one time he saw these Muslim inmates praying. He was a prison guard. And he said, I witnessed him walk by and said, y'all going to hell if you don't quit that. I said, how many did you win? None of them, but I planted a seed. I said, yeah, right. You planted a seed. You just built a wall. Now, do I think Islam is the way? Nope. Are there going to be any Muslims in heaven? Nope. Not those following the doctrine of Islam. Jesus Christ said, I'm the only way to get there. That's the only way you're going to get to God is through me. Night denotes ignorance. Paul said, cast off the deeds of darkness. I found that interesting in the Greek. Paul's not just talking about dark as dark time, night time. He's talking about ignorance. He said, Christians, cast off the deeds of ignorance. What are the deeds of ignorance? One of them is love myself more than I love my fellow man. One's to love me supremely over others. God calls that ignorance. Well, why? Because once you're exposed to the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in you, you know what love is. Do you choose to do it? He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed in the passions of your former ignorance. Remember, if anyone's in Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new, the old becomes former. But you can read there in the epistle that the writer's saying you can choose to walk in the former if that's what you want to do, but that's not love. Remember what he said? Owe no man anything except love. And that's a debt that can't be paid. That's a debt that can't be discharged. We owe that till we go to our graves or till the Lord comes back. That's how we'll be judged. I can say that with a clear, clean conscience without fear of contradiction. When Jesus returns, He's going to say, did you love? Did you love the way I love? Peter says, you're children of light. Children of the day. We're not of the night. Remember, night means ignorance. Peter says, we know better. We're children of the daytime, not the darkness. So then do not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let's be sober. Let's put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope for the salvation that's going to be brought to us. For God does not destine us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He does the work He does in us. You know what God's plan is for you when you come to Christ? That you'll spend eternity with Him. You know what His plan is before that? That you're going to glorify Him on this earth and you're going to help lead others to Christ because you're going to be an ambassador, an effectual ambassador for Jesus Christ and show that love. This brother got up and shared about hospice. Good program. They took care of my mom and dad both when they were dying of cancer. Don't have an ill thing to say against them. But you know what? I've never one time volunteered to help them. I'm going to change that. I love you is cheap. I love the Lord is cheap if you don't have the actions to back it. How many of you are going to step up here today and say, I'm going to love in the name of the Lord? Yeah, man, that makes me uncomfortable. Life is uncomfortable. If you're never uncomfortable, it's because you're not doing anything. Okay? If you're never persecuted, it's because you're not living for Christ. You're living for yourself. If you're never criticized, it's because you're not trying. Now, that's as upfront as I can be with you. You think that's rough, you should have got it when I got it. Man, for talking about love, this sure is a hammering on me. I'm not trying to hammer on you. I'm trying to remind you of what the Lord expects of us. He said, I love you, now you love others. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. This was interesting to me. I knew that the Greek to put on literally means to clothe yourself. And it's a phrase used about getting dressed. You know, to put on your clothes and to wrap yourself. But it said in the Greek thought, the phrase to put on a person means to imbibe his principles, to imitate his example, to copy his spirit, to become just like him. That's what Paul said. Put on Jesus Christ. Surround yourself with Christ. Let Christ envelop you. Work to imitate him. Try to be just like him. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. He'll tell you when it's okay to say no. The Holy Spirit will tell you that. Do you trust Him this morning? Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Then love. Would you stand with me, please? you're here this morning,